to 31 and a reading and preparation for the sermon, Proverbs 31.
Proverbs chapter 31, starting the reading at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen.
And for those who are going out to Sunday school or creche, you can go out now. Titus 2, 1 to 5. We're just looking at verses 3 to 5 this morning, but just for context, we'll just start at verse 1. So Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, Gene Williams tells the story. My friend and I were visiting another friend's church, and during that uncomfortable time after the service when you stand around, a cup of lukewarm tea in one hand and a biscuit in the other. Well, we can give better than lukewarm tea and biscuits, I tell you, here. Maybe they should visit here. Anyway, she said this was her experience, feeling like you have the word visitor tattooed across your forehead and waiting for someone to approach you to make awkward conversation. But the woman who approached us quickly put us at ease. She was white-haired, bright-eyed, and vivacious, and she asked us, "Is this your first time here?" with sincerity and warmth, as if she really wanted to know the answer. We basked in her interest. As we chatted, it became apparent that there was an older woman who hadn't lost interest in younger women. She told us that she went to the young people's evening service as well as the morning service just so she could spend time with young women and encourage them in their faith. As my friend and I reflected on the conversation later, we realized the same thought had run through both our minds. She is the woman I want to become. The passage we're looking at this morning is about aging into a sage. I don't think of sage as in the herb sage, but sage as in a wise person. Men and women are called to be sages, wise people for Christ. And Titus 2 puts forth this wonderful calling where the older women become sages to the younger. As John Piper puts it, aging into a sage. Such a passage was very important to the church in Crete in Titus' day. False teaching was making inroads and it was even affecting families in a very negative way. So the letter in general spends a lot of time showing what the new life of Christ is like. And in chapter 1, it focuses on church matters, congregational life, and, you know, electing elders in that congregation. Then in chapter 2, we look more at family life and individual life. And five groups are mentioned, including older men, older women, younger women, younger men, and workers. And so our passage fits into that, and it just gives us a snippet of how the gospel shapes womanhood. And it's very, very beautiful. And it's a passage of critical importance in our day. For as one writer points out, the problems facing women have not dramatically changed. So Paul's curriculum remains relevant. Relevant to the needs of women. However, although God's design is beautiful, as we'll see, it's not necessarily popular in our day and age. So strap in. Now, before we unpack further what it means to be a sage, let me begin with some more context. One important part of the context, the most important part of the context, is the context of God's grace. Teaching about biblical womanhood is often strong on practice and weak on principle. As a result, women can feel burdened and unnecessarily guilty. Oh, the pastor read Proverbs 31 again, and I haven't done all of those things. The list of do's and for women can be endless. You know, kiss your husband when he comes home, or go on dates with your children, keep the cupboards tidy, and whatever else Google has to say. So then you feel like you have to do 100 things to be a true woman or mother. This letter by nature is strong on practice as well. However, undergirding it all, under it all, the foundation to it all, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look a bit further to verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness. So there's two things we need to know from the outset. Two things every woman needs to know from the outset. One is, you're okay. What do you have to do as a woman to be accepted before God? Nothing. God loves you because of what His Son has achieved for you. You believe in Jesus Christ and He is your righteousness before the throne of God above, not your tidy cupboards, not your motherhood. How good is that? Rest in the gospel. That's where we're starting. One is that you're okay, but you also learn from that passage, you've got help. We've all got help in living for godliness. How can you be a godly woman? Not in your own strength. God's salvation includes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Godly womanhood is not your project. God is making it happen. And he will bring the beautiful portrait to light. But he'll do it over time. Frustrating, I know. And we'll feel vulnerable and lacking and all sorts. But this is God's project that he's doing over time. And when the work he begins, he'll bring it to completion in his time. So, we're okay in Christ. We've got help in Christ. We need to start there. The other part of the context is God's design and creation. Underline the teaching of this passage is God's design for gender. As we know, for a long time, the West has gone on a gender bender. And the chickens are now coming home to roost. Because how many people in our day and age do not know what a man or a woman ought to be doing? Or whether there's one or two genders or how many? But why should it even be a matter up to for debate? That's how confused we are. Young men and women today, don't our hearts go out for them? They do not know what they ought to be doing, and they're looking for guidance. A new generation rises up, you see, and they look for guidance. And what do they find? Very few are giving them the guidance they need. However, we can help by pointing them to God's design from the beginning. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So beautiful, so foundational. Foundational to all of history and civilization. Notice that both men and women were created in the image of God and are created in the image of God. There's a beautiful equality there. No superiority or inferiority. And if thou believest, thou one in Christ and equal in Christ. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, one in Christ. There's a beautiful equality in God's design. And yet at the same time, what our culture can't get their mind around, at the same time, there is also a beautiful distinctiveness. Because there are two genders created distinctively different. And it comes out, the distinction comes out already in different roles in the first marriage. I'll make him a helper fit for him. But that's a beautiful design. Two people that are different, that come together to complement and make something even better. Our passage mirrors that creation design. It begins with highlighting similarities. Older women likewise. Some of the things you'll read here actually could be said of men. Both men and women need to be self-controlled. So the two genders are not always as far apart as we might think. However, at the same time, there's a beautiful distinctiveness that comes through as well. So now the main point of this morning is age into a sage. As I mentioned, don't think sage and lamb roast. Think sage and wise person. Both men and women are called to be sages. But of course we're focusing on this passage addressing women. So women, what is God calling you to be? Well, the list here is not exhaustive. Doesn't say everything in this passage. There's more to say in the rest of Scripture. But here's three things from verse 3. Positively, you're called to be reverent in behavior. The core idea here is to be priest-like. Just as a priest is set apart for holy service in a holy place, so older women are to be holy. Take your Christian life seriously. Show godly character in your speech, actions, and in everything. It covers everything. That comes out a little bit in 1 Timothy 2:9, where there's a slight connection there, because it says it even extends to dress. Women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness. You see, for a godly woman, it's not about externals. Whether that be flashy dress or flashing one's skin, but it's about modesty. Now, that's not to say plain Jane. God is a God of beauty. The point is reverence. And reverence that covers all of life. Touches everything, you see. Because everything we do belongs to Christ. You're also called not to slander. We know words are powerful. Many of our news stories are about Donald Trump. About his words, what he said or didn't say. Words are powerful, they have an effect, and they can use to do good or to do evil. The Greek word for slanderer here is actually diabolos. Diabolos is closely associated with Satan. For he is the great accuser or slanderer. What is slander? It's to pass on what is false or to ascribe wrong motives. There's too much negative talk by wives about their husbands and vice versa. There's too much negative talk behind backs, full stop. There's a right time and place for critique, but beware of being a devil. And also called not to be slaves to much wine. Jean Kilburn has studied alcohol advertising since the 70s, and she says older women are increasingly targeted today. One ad shows two women linking arms in a jovial mood. The caption reads, "We go together like drunk and disorderly." Probably not unlike the advertising that went on in first century Crete. But those who are drunk and tipsy do not make good sages. Applies to men as well. Are you enslaved? Can you go a week without a drink? Have you become a respectable alcoholic? Now, there's a whole lot more that could be said about the sage, as I mentioned before, but here's three aspects to highlight the importance of godly living, and that's the key, wise living. It's about being a sage. And why? So that the older woman can, quote, teach what is good to the younger woman. The teaching in view is especially this modeling and exampling that goes on. Jean Williams again says, "When I was a young woman, I longed for the encouragement of an older woman. As I grow older, I hope to become the kind of woman I longed for. I hope to fill this gap in the lives of young women around me." So, ladies, are you aging into a sage? It's not going to happen overnight. Sanctification is a long process. But are you on that trajectory to becoming a sage? Don't think you have to be perfect. Please don't think you have to be a super saint. A sage is an ordinary Christian woman. You have the fruit of experience, affliction, knowledge of God's word, and so much to pass on to the generations to come. You can go forward. Our women can go forward and teach and model to the younger woman what is good. You can encourage our younger women that their acceptance is in Christ. You can remind those that are single that they don't need to be married to be happy. You can just be there to listen or shed a tear. You can bring perspective to a young, anxious mum or teenager. You can remind the busy mum of the point of it all. You can counsel the struggling wife. You can help the unmarried not to be dazzled by the first bloke who comes along. There's a whole list of things that you can do and bless. Just, that's simple, isn't it? Age into a sage. Girls, may God use you one day to be a sage. It's not optional. And it's the calling of God's word. And it is, I think, the great need of the hour. Note this text gives four particular reasons why sages are so important and four particular ways they are to model an example. Firstly, Mums need to be encouraged to love their husbands and children. At first glance, this might seem a bit silly to you. Of course mum loves her children. When a child hurts themselves, who do they go for a bit of TLC? They run off to mum. I want to give a hug and whatever. No, not good enough. Okay, go to mum then. That's how it goes, isn't it? So what's wrong with those Cretans, that original audience? What's wrong with those Cretans? Well, it's something that's starting to go wrong in our own culture. I'm talking about broader culture. We're blessed with so many good families. We're so blessed with our families. But this is what's going wrong. You see it, don't you? And that's why we're very intentional about what we do. More and more people today are saying, I don't have the maternal instinct. I want to be able to follow my passion. In extreme cases, careers are put before the welfare of one's children. And in more subtle ways, the rigors of family life can be the cause for bitterness and grumpiness. After all, home is not always a lovable workplace. Don't get me wrong, young women. There's a great joy to be found in the family home. I wouldn't have it any other way, but it's challenging. The pay is lousy. There's no shutting down for maintenance. Health and safety is a nightmare. Tripping hazards are par for the course. And workplace depression and burnout are a constant risk. So love for such a place can at times grow cold. Maybe you've had that temptation. Hence the encouragement then. Train the young women to love their husbands and children. And that's possible in the gospel. More than possible. For God so loved you that he gave his son. He's filling your life with love. Love that comes into your life to be shed abroad to everybody else. You got love to give. And to pour out on your household. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. But training is required. It won't come naturally. We have a sinful nature. And you don't just fall into this love. You must learn to love. Because love, true love, through the biblical definition, is hard work. Look at the cross. Follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life, who taught us not to look to our interests, but to the interests of others. May the Lord grant us grace to pour love into our homes. Second, sages are needed to build Christian character. Christian growth is not an individual project. The Bible repeatedly shows it's a community project, and sages are a big cog in that wheel. The particular virtues mentioned in the text include being self-controlled, pure, kind, and submissive to one's husband. Why these particular fruit? Well, no doubt they were apt for the ministry situation of Titus, but there's no doubt these are precious, precious virtues for today. Self-control, so precious, in the home or outside of the home, because it's easy to lose it. It's easy to get distracted by social media. It's easy to slander and gossip. It's easy to drink one glass too many. Purity, so precious, because immorality is only one click away, one TV program away, one flirtatious comment away, one magazine away, one novel away. Kindness, so precious, considering it's easy to be cranky under the pressure of crying children or a grumpy husband or a difficult workplace. Submissive to their own husbands. Well, that goes down like a lead balloon, doesn't it? Because sadly, too many women have been burnt. So some women don't feel they can make themselves vulnerable, and that's sad. The Bible has a very different man and husband in view, one who protects, provides, cares for through thick and thin. And the submissiveness in view is not about being a doormat or being inferior or unthinking. There's nothing toxic about it. Rather, there's a beautiful complementing of roles in the Christian home. So it's not an overbearing imposition on womanhood. Rather, your submissiveness is God's design so your womanhood can flourish. Work through the past, if there is one. Willingly place yourself under your husband as an act of devotion to Jesus. That's what it's all about. As unto the Lord, Ephesians 5. All this is to say, in the words of Proverbs 31, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Character is so precious, so beautiful. That's what the Holy Spirit is cultivating in us all. It's cultivating that beautiful character in our women over time. And sages, we need you then. We need you to help foster the beauty of a young woman's character. You see, that's the sort of stuff people talk about often in their eulogies at funerals. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Because it's interesting just to note what people say in the eulogies. And in the eulogies at this moment in time, tend to give plenty of love for mum and home life. Because that generation had a lot of mum and a lot of home life. So it's still coming through in the eulogies, you see. But what's going to happen in the eulogies in 20 years' time, 40 years' time? What will people be saying? I hope they'll be still saying about the character, the godly character of mum and dad and so forth, about the things that matter. By God's grace, your children will have many beautiful things to say about you. Thirdly, sages are needed to help prioritize the home. The biblical phrase is working at home. Please don't misunderstand the phrase. It's not saying that this is the only thing a woman is called to in life. Not all are called to marriage. 1 Corinthians 7. Not all are called to have children. These women have important kingdom work to do, and much of it outside the home, in their case. This passage is not saying a mother's work is limited to domestic duties, as exalted as they are. This passage is not saying a mother must homeschool her children. So what is the phrase saying? It's highlighting a mother's priorities. Namely, the home. It's not excluding paid work outside of the home. You'll notice that Proverbs 31 mentions several out-of-the-home activities. However, what this passage and Proverbs 31 show is that the home should be prioritized. And Proverbs 31 sounds a lot like prior to the Industrial Revolution, because many men worked from home in those days. They were farmers and so forth, and naturally, mum comes to help on the farm or comes to help in the family business. And so her work extended beyond her domestic duties. But note, the family would be working together. So a wise sage will ask a young woman considering paid work the following questions. Will it benefit your husband? Will it benefit your children? Will it benefit your family? And ultimately, is it in keeping with God's calling on you to be a mum first and foremost? See, this ties in, you can't dismiss this as being, oh, that's that culture and blah, blah, blah. No, it ties in with God's design for the family to be the building block of society. Love can't flourish and function if no one's there at home. So choices have to be made, difficult ones, because it's a total lie and myth that you can have it all, because you can't. Read the media, read the papers, stories come out again and again. You can't have it all. It's a sad lie and it's tripping many people up. Now I realize all this sounds all very unpopular and this is scoffed at by many. But let me ask Let's ask ourselves this. Let me ask you this. Why should children miss out on the nurture that only mum can give? Why should self-actualization career be preferred over self-sacrifice? Why should women be deemed a somebody only if they do paid work? Why should many aspiring mothers be denied the privilege of building up the nation? And why justify paid work to hold on to a middle-class lifestyle? I know houses are getting more expensive, but we don't need to hold on to our middle-class lifestyle and justify more and more work to do that. We can just go a bit more basic. So I think we need a new emancipation. The freedom for women to be a blessing to their families and to be affirmed for it. Don't be embarrassed about God's design. Don't be embarrassed about the family unity you'll enjoy, the nurturing opportunities you'll get, and the strong and stable society that results. Don't be embarrassed about God's design. So sages, let's affirm our mums and the most important calling. Move over, house husbands. Housewives and homemakers are making a comeback. Fourthly, sages help younger women adorn the gospel. Obviously, the core of the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we need to keep the main thing the main thing. However, it may surprise you that biblical womanhood is also part of the gospel. Not central to it, but part of its expression. And so verse 5, that the word of God may not be reviled. The way we live can either adorn the gospel or it can muddy it. A woman's self-control, purity, devotion to her family and husband all say something about the gospel you believe in. And people are watching, aren't they? What is that God that you are following? How does Jesus make a difference to your life? Should I follow too? Show forth the beautiful life God is calling you to. Show the power of Christ. Show that God's ways are good and can be trusted. What an opportunity for witness we have. Family life's going down the tubes in this country. The feminist utopia that plugged a few holes in the leaky bucket has created 100 more. Toxic masculinity is not the answer. We can show people a better way. The good ways of a good God. So wrapping it up this morning, we see this call to be a sage, not a call to be perfect, but to be wise and godly so that the young women can stream to you. Older woman, the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation. In light of this generous and transforming grace, age to be a sage. Christ has covered all your sins. And Christ is enabling you to live a new life. And womanhood transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Leave the self-focus behind. Pray about someone you could invest in. Begin by talking after church. Be vulnerable. Open your home. Age to be a sage. And younger women and girls, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. The verse is for you too. In light of this generous and transforming grace, be receptive. Be receptive to someone speaking into your life and guiding you down the gospel runway. Sages are God's means to grow you and bless you. Don't be a victim of the latest cultural womanhood fad. Trust the wise design of your Creator and your Redeemer. Age into a sage. May God bless us in that way. Amen. Let's use this next song as our prayer.